Now, this is what this Walmart and Chick-fil-A battle's all about. Is God's word true or is it not? I know what y'all being taught in school, that it's not. For the most part, whatever thou do it, whatever thou feel, whatever thou will, do it. If that feels good, do it. That's basically what's being taught. If this word is true, though, say, if this word is true,
if this word is true,
and I know it is, then every word in this thing, this Bible, is true. Not one word is untrue. Because if one word's untrue, then I can't trust any of it. Is that true? If anything in here is wrong, I can't trust any of it. If the creator of the universe wrote this book, then it's true and it's life and it's good. It's not bad. It's not judgmental. Right? It's not prejudice. No, this book is truth and it's life. So as we read the word of God today and every day, let's remember, how many of y'all are in cleansing stream? How's it going this week? No struggles? Yeah, be truthful. Rough. Because you're learning to do what? Walk in the Spirit. I say learning. Some of us knew how and we forgot. Or we kind of started compromising maybe a little bit, you know? And I think everybody does that at one time or another. But the main thing is, as long as you get back. Long as you get back to where you have fallen from, amen, and even higher, even higher, even higher. So Revelation, I want somebody, who would like, who's got a good reading voice? I want somebody to read Revelation 13. I don't want to stop doing this right in the middle. We said we would read a chapter every week till it's all read, because there's a, come on up here, and there's a blessing on the reading of this book, those who hear and do and obey what it says. Thank you, brother. All you got to do is go like this.
Whole chapter.
Chapter 13.
All right. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has a hearer, let him hear. If he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword.
You, brother. What was that last verse you read? Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. I'm going to talk about this, but I think it's worth talking about. What's 6, and what does 6 stand for? Man's number. Man, 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 instead of God, God, God. He's a 7, right? So if you look, I think the scripture right before that in the last chapter was they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So just briefly, there's going to come a day when everyone will be required to have, I don't know if it's a tattoo, I don't know if it's an implant, but it will be 666, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, which is 666. And, you know, I believe Jesus, when I first came to the Lord, I believe Jesus was coming back like any day. Every day I expected Jesus to return. And I think he's sad when I don't think like that every day. I think we need to get back to believing that he is returning very soon. And you know, I thought the signs then were pointing to his soon return. Well, my Lord, now, when you can be tracked anywhere on this planet because of the thing you carry in your pocket, willingly, think about it. I liked what you said the other day. You were talking Wednesday night about cell phones. You were talking about your grandchildren coming over. Just share that real quick. I thought that was powerful, and they loved it. Tell me about that.
Well, I had the grandkids on Saturday, and all day. And when they came, they had their tablets and their, you know, stuff. And I just said, I need those, and just put. I said, you can get them when you go home, you know. And we just had a really good day, you know. Well, the thing is, if they are on those devices, I don't get to spend time with them. And so, and their mom and dad know that. So, yeah. But, yeah, we had a really good day. And about 4 o'clock, the middle one, he's 10, and he said, Nana, thank you for spending the day with us. I mean, he just started to melt, you know, because I pray that God's with us and touches those kids, you know, and God did. And amen. And so, and then later I realized the Lord gave me that too because I couldn't be here, you know, because I really wanted to be here. So, yeah, so, but God knew, yeah. But it really, I bet he probably said that 5 times before he went home that day. You know, he just kept telling me, he just kept coming and hugging me. You know, I knew the Lord was touching him.
Praise God. I personally don't believe we're going to be around for the tribulation. You can believe, you can stay around if you want. I'm leaving in the first out, but... If, you know, who was it over at our house visiting? I forget who was visiting. I said, you can disappear off that thing. Who was it I telling that? Somebody was at our house eating dinner, and I said, you can make yourself, you can go stealth on these things. Hey, don't matter who it was. I think it was Dave and Kelly. They said, oh. I said, no. Yeah, it was Troy. I said, no, man, you just get some aluminum foil. They're like, no, not that aluminum foil stuff. You know, when I was a kid, they said you can put it in hubcaps and it'll keep the radar from picking you up in a car, you know. I tried it. It don't work. But honestly, one day I heard that, and I wrapped my phone up in aluminum foil, and guess what? It goes off. It goes off. You can't even make it ring, can you? The person calling, it's like, it won't do anything. So, yeah, and we got a man here that can get you all the aluminum foil you want because he helps make it. Need more foil. I'm not conspiracying y'all, but, yeah, well, I'm just saying. Sometimes I think you need to take a vacation from stuff because it's got to the point where, like, if you go out the driveway and go, oh, I forgot my cell phone, or 2 or 3 miles and go, oh, I forgot my phone, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to turn around and go back and get it, you know. Lately, when I forget it, I think, that must be a God instance. I'm just going to leave it and see what it feels like to not be in touch. It's really, really freeing. It feels really, really good. So that's all I've got to say about that. Well, what are you laughing at? Forrest Gump. Lord, we thank you for your word. Say, thank you for your word, Lord.
Thank you for your word.
It's life.
It's
life. It's truth. It's power. It's principle. It's righteousness. It leads me in the way I should go. Woo! Yes, Lord. Thank you for your word. Yes, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Galatians 5. I'm so glad you guys don't have one out either. Praise God. I'm glad I don't see nobody talking on a cell phone right now. It's so refreshing. Wow. Y'all got it? I know I could wrap the church in aluminum foil. That costs a lot of money. Gives a discount. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast. What's that mean? It's firm. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And this is the Passion Translation, and I really hadn't read that, but man, let me just read it, same verse. Let me be clear. The Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Galatians 5, verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I'm going to read that again out of the Passion. Before you were led astray, you were so faithful to Messiah. Why have you now turned away from what is right and true? Who has deceived you? The one who folded you into his grace is not behind this false teaching that you've embraced. Not at all. Don't you know that when you allow even a little lie into your heart, it can permeate your entire belief system? I thought, that's very powerful, just a little bitty lie. And I've heard people say that, would you drink water if it was 99% pure and it had 1% poop mixed in with it? You couldn't even see it. Would you drink that water? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. But when you receive a lie, you're mixing that with truth, and it does damage regardless. It's like there's bacteria in that water you drank, and there is. The same thing. It pollutes your mind. It tears your soul up. It makes you unfruitful, doesn't it? Yes. Galatians 5:16. And the reason, look, I'm not trying to take this out of context. The reason I'm reading this in sections because it is a long reading. And the last one was actually talking about people going back to obeying the law for salvation. So we know that it was about a false teacher, right? There's many false teachers now. Jesus said there will be many in the last days who call me Christ, who say, I am the Christ. And I took that scripture for the longest time as saying, oh, well, it's like Charles Manson will say, I'm the Christ, or who was the guy in Waco, David Koresh, I am the Christ. Yeah, he did say that. But I think there'll be many false, I believe what it's saying is there will be many false teachers in the last days saying Jesus is the Christ, but they will deceive many because they will misrepresent him. They will misrepresent his teachings. They will avoid some of his teaching. And pretty soon you've got poison. You're drinking poison. And I know this really doesn't apply to who's in here today, but I think it's to rev you up to get you to say, look, it's happening. Say, it's happening. Deception is happening. America is deceived. Y'all believe that? I believe that. Man, I believe America is deceived. And I'm not talking about y'all, but I'm talking about 80-90% of America is deceived in one way or another about what God's will is. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Say, walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit.
And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts, and lust actually translates to war. Wars against, fights against. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. What's that mean? They're like totally opposed. They're totally opposed to each other. Totally. So that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Say, if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm not under the law. If I'm not, and I'm saying this because it makes sense, if I'm not led by the Spirit, I am under the law. What law? Well, the Old Testament law, but not even that necessary. You're under the law of death. You're under the law of death. Fruit of the flesh is rotten. Is that true? The fruit of our flesh is rotten. How do I know if I'm in the flesh? How do you know if you're in the flesh, if you're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit? What's the easiest way to know? Anger, that's true. Is there a way to know what's walking in the flesh? Your thoughts, but that's not what I'm looking for, but the Word of God. Exactly. What we were talking about is always true. Say, the Word of God is always true. And you were right about that too, brother, by the way, but I was looking for the Word of God is the one test you can always test to see. You know, it's like your GPS. It's like you're reading your word, and it's like, ooh, I need to get back in line. I got to follow the compass. The compass always points to what? The north. Does it always point to the north? Well, unless you're at the North Pole or something weird like that, or you're near a magnet, but it will always point to the north. The Word of God will always point to the truth, always. It never varies. It never goes, this situation's a little bit different. No, there's no situational ethics, which is what we were taught in school. You remember that? Y'all never played. Did your teacher ever play lifeboat with you in school? No? It was something, I guess, when I was going to school. Y'all remember lifeboat? Anybody? You remember lifeboat. Okay, basically what happens is you're on a ship, and I think it's six, I won't get it exactly right, but there's six or seven people in a lifeboat, and it's only got room for four or five. So there's a teacher, there's a scientist, see, I'm not sure what they all were, there's a preacher, there's a rabbi, there's a child that's mentally challenged, and there's a mother with, you know, anyway. Well, which one should we throw out? No, we have to have the scientist, and we must have the teacher, and there was another good one, a doctor, yeah. And said, what about the mentally challenged kid? Yeah, we can throw him out. And what about the other one was an old person, a person 75 years old. Yeah, we can throw them out. So it was like situational ethics. It's okay to kill somebody if it's for the greater good. And this is to fifth, sixth grade kids. And this was a long time ago. I'm sure they've made it now where it's much more stealthy. It is indoctrination. You're exactly right. You write this down where you wrote down the Walmart stuff. Write down Steve Taylor lifeboat. No, he did a music video, and you'll find it on YouTube, and you'll probably be mad at me when you watch it. But it does. It goes. It's got a teacher going through. It's kind of Steve Taylor. Anyway, rotten fruit of the flesh. How do we know what it is? Well, I've got three scriptures here, and there's many, many more, but I just thought they fit so well. The works of the flesh. What's a work? Action. It's what it produces, right? The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. What's adultery? It's having sexual relations with somebody outside of being married to them. It's like having relations with someone that's married to someone else. That don't ever happen in America anymore, does it? Adultery, fornication. And I got the Strong's and looked this up, what exactly it means. Fornication means illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, etc., etc. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder. Did I copy this twice or something? Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And pornography goes in there too. Did you notice the very first part and the very strongest part was sexual sin? Did you notice that? Do you know every society that's ever fallen, the Greeks, the Romans, it was they went into sexual perversion and orgies, and that was their last step before they fell. Are we saturated with that spirit these days? Can you turn on the TV without some relation to something lewd or? And the problem is you can say, well, I just kind of, you know, I don't really pay attention to that, but most of it's good. It's like the water and the poop. Most of it's good, but you're taking in poison. You're taking in poison, and you're starting to agree with what society says. Have you found that happening at all? Have you found that you go, well, maybe, you know, because you hear the voice. You hear the voice of the Antichrist. You hear the voice of things that are meant to tear you down. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, and this is the good news, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ooh, that's good news. That's good news. I know some of y'all was a mess. And I can look in the mirror. I was a mess. But God's grace, He set me free. And I still am not perfect. I am far from perfect. I still even fall back into the slop sometimes. And I always think of that verse, like a dog returns to its own vomit. If you ever seen a dog do that, they will do that. That's a very true saying. Oh, I hate to say that right before the chili dinner, but you know it's true, it's true, it's true. A dog will eat worse than vomit. And then they want to kiss you. You know it's true, but they're sweet. Revelation 21. No, you know, people say there's going to be dogs in heaven. How many of y'all believe that? It might be. But it says in Revelations, outside the gates of the city of heaven will be dogs, fornicators, adulterers. And dogs were in reference to Gentiles, okay? Unsaved Gentiles. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes, say, I have overcome. I will inherit all things. You will be my God, and I will be your son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, help me say this word, abominable, abominable, can you say it? Abominable, murderers, sexually immoral. You notice murderers and sexually immoral, they're right next to each other. What, did God make a mistake? Is he not going to grade on the curve? Has he got big sins and little sins? And one that's talking about this, talk about and all liars, okay? Sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, there it is, and all liars. Y'all come back in here. I want you to finish this up. Shall have their part in what? The lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There used to be a church sign that said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Makes sense, don't it? Not if you're a heathen, you're going, what? I don't get it. Just like CHCH, what's missing? You are. I mean, some of those church signs, I wish we had one because I could sure put some powerful stuff on there. Probably get us vandalized. He who overcomes will inherit all things, praise God. We will inherit all things. We're overcomers, amen? But those who walk against the statutes of God, and by the way, that don't mean you slip and fall, believe me, because everybody in this room has slipped and fallen at least once. I'd say probably more than that. But when you make it a lifestyle to live like that, you know, you could fall into a sin and you can go, oh, God, and you feel bad about it. You feel sorry and you repent. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. But if you continue, that's just the way I am. That's just a generational curse and that's me. You can't come into agreement with that. You need to say that was a generational curse. It's broken here. It stops here. As for me and my household, we will serve the Most High God. So I'm going to look at these three words, washed, sanctified, and justified, and we're through. We're ready to eat. Washed, sanctified, and justified, because that's what that said. Let me see. I want to read that verse again. Where was that at? There it is. Verse 11. So 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And I know there's, I won't agree or disagree. I know there's certain denominations that believe in a work of sanctification and a work of, and we do too in a way, you know. It's just semantics. It's just playing with words sometimes. But we are washed. And that means to be washed fully, remitted, to wash off or wash away. Wash, I'm sorry, I'm from Kentucky. Wash. Wash, I'm washed. Because the blood of the Lamb washes us from all sin. When we take on the blood of the Lamb, we're forgiven for everything, everything, everything. No matter how wicked you were, doesn't matter. Who could not be forgiven? Could Charles Manson have been forgiven? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That don't sound fair. I've had people say that are professing Christians say, that's not fair. No, it ain't fair. It's not about fair. Could Adolf Hitler have been forgiven? Yes, he could have. But he was like Judas, wasn't he? took his own life. That was his repentance. In fact, I bet half of y'all don't even know who Charles Manson was, but how many of y'all know about the Manson murders? Did you know, I'm thinking Tex Watson, which was one of the gunmen, Patricia Krenwinkle, which was Sexy Sadie, and there was another one, and they actually came to the Lord, and there was no hope whatsoever of them getting out of prison. It had nothing. There was one named Twinkie, yeah. But I read a book about, it was Susan Atkins. Yeah, I read a book about her. It says, Son of Satan, or Daughter of Satan, Daughter of Jesus. You know, in other words, she flip-flopped from the satanic and murder and everything, and she was forgiven, and she died, didn't she, in prison. But she was the real deal. I mean, I read this book, and she was not doing it to get out of jail because none of them were going to get out of jail. But Lord washed her and cleansed her and used her where she was at, in prison. So you're washed in the blood, and to me, that's when the new birth happens. When you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're sanctified, you're made holy, God separates you from profane things, and you're dedicated to God. You are dedicated. You are sanctified. You are washed and clean. To me, that starts happening. You know, how many of y'all prayed to receive Jesus at one time? You might have been your own prayer. It might have been somebody led you in it. You prayed a prayer of repentance, right? And it was all covered. Amen? But maybe a week later, God reminded you of something that you had done that you felt like you just, forgive me, Jesus. Or even better than that, he told you to go make it right. Do restitution. Make things right with others. And so that's a very important thing. I'm not saying it's your salvation, but it sanctifies you. It cleanses you. Every fiber in your being and your memory. See, when you get sanctified, this thing can't mess with you no more. Because this thing will mess with you after you're saved. Amen? Amen. I remember when I first started going to church, and I think experienced it too, but you'd be sitting there worshiping. Well, we didn't do this because we wasn't allowed to, but no, it wasn't like that. But we were praising the Lord, singing hymns, that's what it was, and just felt so close to God, and all of a sudden it's, you get this pornographic image or something like, it's like, where did that come from? I know exactly where that came from. That came from hell. It was time to repent of it. And pretty soon, it has no stronghold on you anymore. He's gonna buck you for a while, man. He's owned you all your life. He's not just going to let you go and go, oh, it's okay. You're gone. No hope for you. Would be nice. But it's a battle. It's a battle. And I like that song we were singing that said Triumph. What song was that, Jamie? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Yes, in fact, you're right. I owned one. It was called a Bonneville. Two cylinders, two carburetors. English bike it was. But I remember I had a denim jacket, and I had a set of angels. It looked like angels' wings like this that said Triumph on it. I thought that'd be a cool jacket now, wouldn't it? Man, not really. Sanctified. You got to be washed. You need to be sanctified. And you need to be justified. You are regarded as innocent, free, righteous. You're rendered righteous. In other words, you're judged, and God says, you are righteous. I look on you as righteous. And sanctification, you know, I believe, I don't know if theologically I'd be right or not, but I don't believe in a second work of grace. I believe when you come to Jesus, you're as saved as you're going to get. You can get closer. You can get your life more lined up with him. You can fill yourself with good things. But I do believe there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that sometimes it comes. I've seen people get everything, right? you know, as soon as they come to Jesus. But now I've seen other people, they've, for years and years, they've wanted the gift of tongues. And they've cried out, and they've cried out, and then all of a sudden, one day, they get it. So there is more. Say, there's more. There is more. And that's why, as long as they're having moves of God, I'll go there. If God's giving out more and he's giving it out in Kansas City, I'll go to Kansas City. If he's giving it out in Toronto, I'll try to get to Toronto. If he's giving it out in Florida, I'll try to get to Florida. But I can't make it there. That's why the pastor goes, so he can bring it back to you, see? But there's more. There's more. And I'll never forget when they used to have an altar or a prayer call at Brownsville, and you'd come up and get prayer. Of course, you knew the first time you was kind of skeptical. It's like, I don't know about this. These people are wobbling and shaking for no apparent reason. But you get prayer, and it's like, bam. And all they ever said, they didn't pray a long prayer. They go, more, now, 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 more, more, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. And that was enough. That's all it took, that anointing and more of Jesus. So let's stand up. So only you know where you're at with Jesus right now. And this is for you to get really serious about all those folks out there that think they're all right with Jesus. But according to this cup of water we just filled up, they're not. They've got poison. They've been poisoned. They've been poisoned by media. They've been poisoned by friends. They've been poisoned by teachers. They've been poisoned by false teachers. And so we need to pray for these folks. But let's all pray together. I want to lead you in a prayer, okay? And it's not a magic prayer, but I want to lead everybody in this room in a prayer. And would you just repeat after me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. I've hurt others. And I've hurt myself. But I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. You did signs, wonders, miracles, gave the blind sight, the deaf heard, and people were raised from the dead. And I believe you're the same, Jesus. Yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe, Jesus, that you suffered, you were beaten, you bled, and you shed your blood, and you were nailed to the cross. And your shed blood washes away all sin. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me in your blood, Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be brand new. I believe, Jesus, you rose from the dead. And I believe you're going to return, Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And my very best friend. So if you've never done that before, if you prayed that prayer and you don't know Jesus or you've never given your life to Jesus, just raise your hand up and confess him. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Anybody? I think most everybody here has done that. Now I'd like you to remember, I'm going to believe that applies to you. There's a word called backslidden. And I think most people think of it, I've fallen into some deep, dark sin, but you just lost your first love. You don't wake up in the morning thinking about him. You don't go through the day singing his praises. You don't go at night. It's the last thought on your mind. And that's loving Jesus. He loves you so much, and he wants to love on you all the time. And The enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The enemy comes to separate that that intimacy with Jesus, man. He wants to be intimate with us. So God can take care of any problem. Amen?
Amen.
God can take care of any bully at school. Amen?
Amen?
God can take care. God has it under control. But you got to allow him to take the wheel. You know, there used to be a, you might have one on your car. I don't mean to offend you, but it used to say, God is my co-pilot. He don't want to be your co-pilot. He wants you to be the co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot of your life. He's the one in control. When he's in control, things work out right. Amen? So if you need prayer for anything, and by the way, I want to, in case y'all didn't know, everybody's invited for chili. I made a big enough pot to feed everybody in this room, so we've got five, four. So Jesus, just hold your hands out. I want to bless you. Lord, I thank you, God. Bless these saints of God. Bless these worshipers, these lovers of you, Jesus. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in. Lord God, I pray an open heaven over their finances. I pray, God, we curse the devourer that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I pray, God, that your angels be stationed around their home, their vehicles. Praise God for the vehicle that flipped over, Polly's vehicle, and didn't hurt nothing. Praise God. Thank you for angels. Praise God. Station your angels about our life, especially around our children and our grandchildren. And maybe they're not walking that way right now. We take authority. We stand in the gap for them right now in Jesus' name. God, that they will love you and worship you and serve you all the days of their life, Jesus. Lord God, bless this food. Let it nourish our bodies. We curse sickness and we speak life. We speak abundant life in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you.